You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, this week, to the element that unites weddings, wars, conflicts and cremations. And to explain how, here's Catherine Holt.
Any chemist could talk for days about carbon. It is, after all, for us carbon-based life forms, an everyday, ubiquitous, run-of-the-mill found in pretty much everything element. An entire branch of chemistry is devoted to its reactions. But today I'm going to talk about the most glamorous form that carbon can take, and that's diamond. For millennia, diamond has been associated with wealth and riches, as it can be cut to form gemstones of high clarity, brilliance and permanence. Diamonds truly are forever. Unfortunately, diamond also has a dark side. The greed that it induces leads to the trade of so-called conflict diamonds that support and fund civil wars. Man's desire for diamond has led to many attempts to synthesise the material. After many fraudulent early claims, diamond was finally synthesised artificially in the 1950s. Scientists took their inspiration from nature by noting the conditions under which diamond is formed naturally, deep under the Earth's crust. They therefore used high temperatures of over 3,000 degrees Celsius and high pressures of more than 130 atmospheres to turn graphite into diamond. This was an impressive feat, but the extreme conditions required made it prohibitively expensive as a commercial process. Since then, the process has been refined, and the use of catalysts means that lower temperatures and pressures are required. These techniques mean it is now possible to artificially synthesise gemstone-quality diamonds, which, without the help of specialist equipment, cannot be distinguished from natural diamond. It is possible to turn any carbon-based material into a diamond, including hair and even cremated remains. Yes, you can turn your dearly departed pet into a diamond if you want to. These artificial diamonds are chemically and physically identical to the natural stones, and they come without the ethical baggage. However, psychologically there remains a barrier. If he really loves you, wouldn't he buy you a real diamond? From the perspective of a chemist, material scientist or engineer, we soon run out of superlatives while describing the amazing physical, electronic and chemical properties of diamond. It is the hardest material known to man, and more or less inert, able to withstand the strongest and most corrosive of acids. It has the highest thermal conductivity of any material, so it's excellent at dissipating heat, and that's why diamonds are always cold to the touch. Having a wide band gap, it is the textbook example of an insulating material, and for the same reason has amazing transparency and optical properties. You can see then why diamond is exciting to scientists. Its hardness and inert nature suggest applications as protective coatings against abrasion, chemical corrosion and radiation damage. Its high thermal conductivity and electrical insulation cry out for uses in high-powered electronics, and its optical properties are ideal for windows and lenses. These properties have been known for decades, so why then is the use of diamond not more widespread? The reason is that natural diamond and diamonds formed by high-pressure, high-temperature synthesis are of limited size, usually only a few millimetres at most, and can only be cut and shaped along specific crystal faces. This prevents the use of diamond in most of the suggested applications. However, about 20 years ago, scientists discovered a new way to synthesise diamond, this time under low-pressure, high-temperature conditions, using chemical vapour deposition. A gas mixture of 99% hydrogen and 1% of methane is used, and an activation source like a hot filament is employed to produce highly reactive hydrogen and methyl radicals. The carbon-based molecules then deposit on a surface to form a coating or thin film of diamond. The diamond films are polycrystalline, consisting of crystallites in the micron size range, so they lack the clarity and the brilliance of gemstone diamond. While they may not be as pretty, these diamond films can be deposited on a range of surfaces of different sizes and shapes, and so hugely increase the potential applications of diamond. Challenges still remain to understand the complex chemistry of the intercrystalline boundaries and the surface of the films, and to learn how best to exploit them. This material will be keeping scientists busy for many years to come. However, at present, we can all agree that there is more to diamond than just a pretty face.
Catherine Holt extolling the virtues of the jewel in carbon's crown. Next week, we're heading to the top of Group 1 to hear the story of the metal that revolutionised the treatment of manic depression.
Its calming effect on the brain was first noted in 1949 by an Australian doctor, John Cade. He had injected guinea pigs with a 0.5% solution of lithium carbonate, and to his surprise, these normally highly strung animals became docile. Cade then gave his most mentally disturbed patient an injection of the same solution. The man responded so well that within days he was transferred to a normal hospital ward and was soon back at work.
And it's still used today, although despite 50 years of medical progress, we still don't know how it works. That was Matt Wilkinson, who'll be here with the story of lithium on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I do hope you can join us. I'm Chris Smith, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.